Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, continue reading in the summarization of the manners and etiquettes of the people of Al-Qur'an, the carriers of Al-Qur'an by Al-Imam Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Al-Husayn Al-Anjuri rahimahullahu ta'ala. And in our previous class, we're discussing a number of important characteristics and traits of how the people of Qur'an, they handle themselves, their demeanor, their etiquettes. From the most distinguishing traits are the affairs of the heart and the tongue. The affairs of the heart and the tongue. And it has been collected by Imam Ahmed authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the hadith of Anas. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "La yastakimu إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسانه." That a person's faith, his iman, meaning his obedience and uprightness upon the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, it will never be upright until his heart is upright. And his heart will not be upright until his tongue is upright. So these affairs, they are directly connected. The affairs of the tongue and the affairs of the heart. So these are two great issues that the people of Qur'an, they're highly concerned with. Concerned with the affairs of the heart, the deeds of the heart, beginning with the creed in the heart and the belief, and then likewise the actions of the heart, purifying them and making them for the sake of Allah alone. And also distinguishing their speech and their statements, and being cautious and careful of that which they say. Because the tongue is a great blessing, and the ability to speak is a great favor that Allah has favored, that Allah the Most Gracious has favored mankind with. And it can be a means to achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a great way. But also if a person, he's not careful, it could be a means for him to fall on his face in the hellfire and to earn the anger of Allah azza wa jal. Allah, he mentioned in his book, the favor of the tongue, Ar-Rahman, Allama Al-Qur'an, Khalaqa Al-Insan, Allamahu Al-Bayan, Allamahu Al-Bayan, taught him the speech. So this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Bayan, yani Al-Kalam. Al-Kalam wa Al-I'rab amma fi nafs, to be able to speak and to clarify and to express what is on one's mind. This is a great favor and blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One, he must show thanks and he must say that which is beneficial and good or beside it. We have seen this in our previous classes. This is just to emphasize this affair. We've seen as well that he does not belittle the people, nor does he speak bad about the people, nor does he curse or call the people names. He does not backbite the people. He does not degrade them and the likes like this. He does not have suspicion about people, thinking bad about them except for those who deserve that, meaning except from those whom it's seen from them a bad way, either directly from their circumstance and situation or from their statements and speech or from their companions and the places that they frequent. So on and so forth. And today we have many ways of identifying things, and they have something called now the hala, in WhatsApp, status. Many times this will expose a person and who they are with, any of their social media connections and the likes like this. So a person, he will not think good about the people of deviation or the people who associate with the people of deviation or the people who defend or spread the information or spread the statements and the links and so on and so forth for the people of deviation, for the people of innovation, the people of doubts and misconceptions, the people who are tried by the beliefs and ideologies of the Ikhwan Muslimun and the likes like them and those upon their way and those that are similar. And likewise, the same affair goes for those who are tried by sin, listening to music and free mixing, so on and so forth, and other great ills that will destroy a person's religion and weaken his faith and earn him the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a believer who will caution himself from them and avoid them, and he will not befriend them and take them as close companions. He'll be aware of these affairs. There was a discussion yesterday about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he would not lie. And we were speaking about the woman, the old woman, she came, and the imam, he recited those verses this morning, and I remembered actually the verse that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he mentioned was the verse before, the verse that we mentioned in our class previously. And he, along with that verse, إِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَاهُنَّ إِنْ شَاءَ فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبَكَارًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبَكَارًا, that indeed we have created them a new creation, a special creation, and we have made them virgins. And so this was the issue with regards to that. This was the issue with regards to that. إِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَاهُنَّ إِنْ شَاءَ فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبَكَارًا. Likewise, in our previous class, I mentioned the narration from Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, and there was a mistake in that wording. And the narration reads, سِبَابٌ مُسْلِمٌ فُسُوقٌ وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. I mentioned وَقَتْلُهُ كُفْرٌ, and this is a mistake. وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. And in the wording of the narration, this is the proper reading. سِبَابُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فُسُوقٌ, to curse and call a Muslim names is فُسُوق, is corruption and sin. Corruption and sin, wickedness and evil. وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. And fighting him. And fighting him is disbelief, meaning it's a type of disbelief, or it's considered a great act of ingratitude and a major sin, and a major sin. So also in our previous class as well, we've seen that the author, he mentioned about the people of Al-Quran, that they do not have jealousy. They do not have jealousy. They do not have envy and jealousy for others. This was from their traits. But now whenever we begin reading, we see what he begins with, rahimahullah ta'ala, after mentioning that affair, that he does not have hasad, and he does not oppress others, and he does not do them wrong, he does not belittle them, he does not put them down, he does not have ill thoughts of them without right and without circumstantial evidences and the likes like this. Then he says, rahimahullah, yahsudu bi'ilm. He envies others with knowledge. So here he said before, he does not envy. But now he says, yahsudu bi'ilm. He envies others with knowledge. وَيَظُنُّ بِعِلْمِ. And he judges and he has suspicion about others with knowledge. وَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِمَا فِي الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ عَيْبٍ بِعِلْمٍ. And he speaks about the faults of others with knowledge. With knowledge. And then he said, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَيَسْكُتُ عَنْ حَقِيقَةِ مَا فِيهِ بِعِلْمٍ. And he remains silent about the reality of that individual based upon knowledge. So these are in contrast to that which has preceded. He does not have envy and jealousy for others. And he does not have suspicion and think bad and have ill thoughts about others. And he does not speak bad and backbite others, nor call them names in their face. And the likes like this. So this is the clarification of the balance of the people of Al-Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about this ummah, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And like that, we have made you a moderate nation. So the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions is the moderate path. As-sirat al-mustaqim. As-sirat al-mustaqim. Khayrul umuri awsatuha la tafriituha wa la ifratuha. The best of all affairs is the moderate affair. The path of moderation. The path of moderation in all affairs in life. Not the one that is extreme in negligence and not the one that is extreme and going beyond the boundaries. So there are two extremes always in affairs. Going to extremes, transgressing the limits, doing too much and going beyond the boundaries. And there are also other extremes as well, being negligent and falling short and not fulfilling the rights in the manner prescribed and required. And the best and most proper way is the way in between. Is the way in between the two. And this is the way of Al-Islam and the people of Al-Islam haqqan, the true people of Al-Quran. And they are in moderation. So a person, he will not go on one extreme, speaking bad about everybody and finding fault with everybody and putting down everybody and exposing the faults of everybody, exposing the ills of everybody and the likes like this. And also he will not be silent whenever it's time to speak. So we've seen before that whenever he speaks with knowledge, and whenever he's silent with knowledge. So there are times when a person, he will speak, and there are times whenever a person, he is silent. And the origin is that a person, he will not backbite anyone or speak ill about anyone or spread the faults of anyone. This is the fundamental principle. And likewise, he will not have suspicion about anyone except with right whenever they deserve that because of their actions or because of their statements or because of their companions and the likes like this, and he will not put them down or mention their fault, not in their face nor behind their back. This is the origin. But there are certain circumstances whenever it's allowed, whether it may be required, or there are details in some of these issues that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has clarified in the authentic sunnah. Like here he says, yahsudu bi ilm. Yahsudu bi ilm. We spoke in our previous class that the hasood is the hasood, the person who is envious, the person who has envy. What do the people of knowledge call him? Aduwu and ni'mah. Aduwu ni'mah. He's the enemy of blessing. We have seen some of the details about that. The enemy of blessings. And he despises and takes enmity towards the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has bestowed upon others. But there is a case when it's allowed to have hasid. But what is intended by al-hasid? And this is the discussion now. He says, rahimahullah, yahsudu bi'ilm. And this is in reference to a narration which is collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu. A person, he will say, how could I have jealousy with knowledge? And how could I be jealous and have envy with knowledge? This narration clarifies. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, la hasada illa fi ithnatayn. There is no jealousy except in two affairs. There's no envy except in two affairs. The first one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Rajulun atahu Allahu malan fasulita ala halakatihi fil haqq. A man whom Allah had bestowed upon him wealth, and it was exhausted in the avenues of truth. It was exhausted in the avenues of truth. Yani spending in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, the obligatory and non-obligatory spending in the manner pleasing to Allah. So a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him wealth, and then he spent that wealth properly in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is a high and lofty status. And al-hasid is allowed in this case. The second issue, وَرَجُلٌ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْحِكْمَةِ فَهُوَ يَقْضِي بِهَا وَيُعْلِمُهَا. And a man whom Allah has granted him wisdom. Meaning knowledge, beneficial knowledge and understanding in the religion. فَهُوَ يَقْضِي بِهَا وَيُعْلِمُهَا. And he judges by way of that wisdom, and he teaches the people. So in this case, it's allowed. لَا حَسَدَ إِلَّا فِي اثْنَتَيْنِ. There's no hasad except for in two cases. In our previous class, we discussed the definition of al-hasad. And there was a base understanding, there was a fundamental understanding, and there was a fundamental understanding, and then from that, there were different levels. Who can remind us of that? Who can remind us of that fundamental understanding of al-hasad, jealousy? Huh? To dislike others having blessings. كِرَاهَةُ النِّعْمَةِ لِغَيْرِهِ كِرَاهَةُ كَرَاهَةُ النِّعْمَةِ لِغَيْرِهِ. That person, يَنِي أَنْ يَقْرَى أَنْ يَرَى غَيْرَهُ فِي النِّعْمَةِ. That he would dislike to see others in blessings. This is jealousy, the base level. That he will see others having blessing and goodness in his deen or in his dunya, and this will bother him. He will not like that. This is jealousy. Greater than that, he wished that you didn't have it. He wished it would go away from him. He would go away from him. Higher than that, he wished that it would go away from him and come to him. Higher than that, he will go and work in the pathway of removing that blessing from him. Either bringing it to him or, he will act upon that which is in his heart. And he's trying to remove it by saying things about him or making effort in order for that person to lose that blessing and to lose that favor. This is what is intended from al-hasad. But there's another understanding of al-hasad. The word is used, al-hasad, but it's not intended this meaning here. There's another term that people of knowledge, they refer to as called al-ghibta. Al-ghibta from al-ightibat. يعني اغتبط يغتبط اغتبط اغتباطا. So al-ghibta is whenever a person, he sees someone else having good and he's happy. Al-ghibta has a meaning of happiness. So he sees that somebody has good and he's happy and he would like to have the same thing. He sees somebody reciting the Quran very fluently. It's like, Allahu Akbar, I would like to recite like Fulan. Somebody who has a lot of money and he spends it in the cause of Allah. Spending on the masjid, spending on the orphan, spending on the poor, helping out wherever he can, and the likes like this. And he's known for that. So a person, he will see that brother and know that brother for that good, and he will say, Allahu Akbar, I would like to do that. He would love to be like that. Without having any enmity, without having any rancor, without having any hard feelings in his heart towards that brother whatsoever. He's happy for that brother. May Allah bless him. He has no hard feelings whatsoever, but he would like to have the same thing. he would like to do the same thing. So this is called ghibta. This is called ghibta. And this is what is intended by al-hasad here. La hasada illa fi ithnataini. Yani la ghibta. So this is something that a person, he will see others involved in, and he would like to be involved in the likes of what they're involved in. So the word hasad is being used here, but what is intended is al-ghibta. What is intended is al-ghibta. And this is the meaning, yahsudu bi'ilm. He has hasad with knowledge. وَيَظُنُّ بِعِلْمٍ. And he has suspicion likewise in judging others with knowledge. We have seen some of the details with regards to that likewise. وَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِمَا فِي الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ عَيْبٍ بِعِلْمٍ. And he speaks about the faults of others with knowledge. He speaks about the faults of others with knowledge. So if he does speak about their faults, he does that with knowledge. And also there's another trait that's coupled as well with knowledge, and that is justice. That is justice. If a person is going to speak about the faults of others, he must have knowledge and he must be just. He must have knowledge and he must be just. He cannot speak about others based upon ignorance, nor desires and whims. Nor desires and whims and oppression. Rather, he must speak upon knowledge and justice. And he must speak for the sake of Allah, in defense of the religion, in order to help that person. And hopefully he will come back and leave that fault, and likewise to protect others from falling into the likes of what he has fallen into. Also, he says, وَيَسْكُتُ عَنْ حَقِيقَةِ مَا فِيهِ بِعِلْمٍ. And also, he'll be silent about the reality of that person with knowledge. Meaning, not everyone who has a fault with them, their fault has to be spoken about. Their fault has to be displayed. Some people, they have faults, or they have an error, or they made a mistake, and that's something that is known. But it's not something that requires or necessitates for it to be publicized. So he'll be silent about that, meaning in public, for example, with knowledge. And then if he does advise or he does speak, he'll do that privately. Or in a manner that is proper. So not everyone who is silent about a particular issue, he does not have knowledge of that. Doesn't mean that he does not have knowledge. Not everyone who is silent about a particular issue, or he doesn't speak or delve into affairs, does not mean that he is unaware or hasn't taken a position with regards to the issue. But he has knowledge, he has wisdom, he has insight, and he's silent upon knowledge. Weighing up the benefits and the harms. Whenever it's good to speak and whenever it's not good to speak. And again, speaking about others in a bad light and mentioning their faults, especially behind their backs, is a major sin. And this is the origin. So a person, he'll be very cautious with regards to that. But there are cases, and there are circumstances and situations where it could be an obligation to speak. The people of knowledge, they say, الذم ليس بغيبة في ستة. That blaming, censoring individuals, speaking about their ills, and clarifying their faults is not considered backbiting in six cases. الذم ليس بغيبة في ستة متظلما ومعرف موحذري ولمظهر فسقا ومستفت ومن طلب العيانة في إزالة منكري. And these are some lines of poetry the people of knowledge, they mention. So blaming others, censoring them, exposing their faults is not considered backbiting in six cases. And that is number one, متظلم, a person who has a مظلمة, the person who has been oppressed. A person who has been oppressed and he needs to get his right back. So it's allowed for him. It's allowed for him to say, so-and-so oppressed me. فُلَان ظَلَمَنِي سَرَقَنِي كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ. So-and-so did this, so-and-so did that. He's an oppressor. He lied to me. He cheated me. This person, he deceived me. He took advantage of me. This person, he stole my property. So on and so forth. He has a right. This person, I loaned him money. He did not pay me back. He refuses to pay me. And to say bad things, that this person is backbiting me. This person is lying on me. So on and so forth. Like this, in a time... In order to take a person to court and to clarify to the judge or the person who's going to rectify the affairs, to mention him and the faults that he has in order to get the right back, this is allowed and this is not considered backbiting. ومعرفين. And معرف is whenever a person, he will mention a fault about somebody, but not to find fault with them, but rather to identify them. For example, if somebody, he has bad eyesight, or if somebody, he is blind. Somebody say, I seen the brother so-and-so yesterday. Say, which brother is that? You know, the one with bad eyesight, for example. Or if he has, for example, a limp, like this. And say, I've seen so-and-so the other day. He said, which brother? So-and-so who? He said, the one who has a limp. The one who has a limp. Mentioning his fault. Mentioning his defect. Mentioning his shortcoming. But not from the aspect of blaming him. But that's how he's known. He's known by that. You're able to identify the one who is being intended by mentioning that affair. By mentioning that affair. So this is allowed. And this is permissible. And this is not considered backbiting. ومحذري. المحذر, the one who is warning others. The one who is warning others from innovation or from deviation and misguidance in the religion or from sin and transgression and the likes like this. So sometimes there are individuals who will be warned by. They'll be warned from by name. They'll be warned from by name because of the harms that they have, especially with regards to the innovators and the people who are following the deviant sects and the deviant groups. They will be warned against. And this is not backbiting. And the people of misguidance, they misunderstand these affairs and they confuse the layman. And we know the statement of the scholars that luhum al-ulama sumum, the flesh of the scholars is poison. If you backbite the scholars, this is like poison. And no doubt there are evidences yani, supporting this idea, supporting this understanding. And from that, the hadith of the wali, which is also from the 40 hadith, huh? The hadith of al-wali. من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنت بحرب فقد آذنته بحرب. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah, he said, Azza wa Jal, that whoever takes enmity towards one of my awliya, whoever takes enmity towards one of my true believers, beloved believers, then I have announced war against him. And the people of knowledge, they are the first and foremost from the awliya. But there are people, there are individuals who ascribe to knowledge, yet the ulama su. They ascribe to knowledge, but they're foul, and they're misguided, and they're deviant. They're scholars, yani from the fact that they carry knowledge, but they have a deviant understanding. They have a misguided practice and application of that knowledge. They call to deviation. And they call to deviation. From the greatest jihad is to warn from them and clarify them, to expose their ills, and to protect the Muslims from them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to speak about them and to clarify their falsehood and their faults and mistakes in the religion and in the deen, not in their personal life, not in their family affair, to expose their faults and the religion and the deen, this is jihad. Jihadun fi sabilillah. And this is not backbiting. And this is a good way. And this is a good way. So this is something that is clear. Likewise, if there are individuals who are involved in sin and they're known for sin or they're tried with sin and the likes like this, to warn individuals from them. I seen you with so-and-so. I warn you from him. I seen you walking with so-and-so. You know he smokes weed. You know he has girlfriends. You know that he listens to music. Yeah. So-and-so, the son of so-and-so. That's I'm telling you. Stay away from him. Because these sins and these bad companions and the things that they're upon from either misunderstandings in their religion or the impermissible lust, those people who are tried by that, they're more contagious than physical diseases. And the diseases of the heart are more contagious and they spread faster from one to another than many of the physical diseases. Many a person, he will listen to the wrong person and he'll be affected. Or he'll be in the company of the wrong person, he'll be affected. Some people, all it takes for them is to be in the company of an individual and for their heart to lean towards them a little bit with some type of affection, some type of respect. They see they have like an honor for that person, and next thing you know, they're following him. They honor somebody. They think he's cool. They think he's somebody who they like and they like to be like, and he listens to music. Next thing you know, they're gone. Because he honored that person. He liked that person. Now he starts following that person. So being in the company of the likes of them is dangerous. So we'll warn from that person, whether it's with regards to sin or whether it's regards to innovation and deviation in the religion. All of this is from a good way, and it's not backbiting. وَلِمُضْحِرٍ فِسْقًا, the one who outwardly sins, the open sinner, and this is what we were just discussing, the open sinner. We warn from him likewise. Mention his faults likewise, and it's not considered backbiting. Any of the backbiting that is forbidden. وَلِمُضْحِرٍ فِسْقًا وَمُسْتَفْتٍ. المستفتي is the one who comes to a person of knowledge asking for religious guidance. asking for religious guidance. So if he has a situation, he needs clarity with regards to, and there's an issue, he needs to know the ruling. He needs to know the ruling for that affair. Then it's allowed for him to mention the faults of others. It's allowed for him to mention the faults of others. Each one of these affairs, they have detailed evidences that have come in the book and in the sunnah. In the book and in the sunnah. If we discuss all of them now in detail, then it would take a lot of time. We just mentioned them briefly. These affairs here, we discussed them though in detail in the sisters class, in the beginning of that work, Nasihati Lin-Nisa. Nasihati Lin-Nisa. And she came and she mentioned Abu Sufyan. He didn't give her her right. He didn't give her her right. And he said, what should I do? Is it allowed for me to take his wealth whenever he doesn't know? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to her that it's allowed for her to take that what she needs for herself and for her child. And even while he does not know. And he taking her right. Taking her right. So this was something that she mentioned about her husband. And no doubt, he would not like for that to be mentioned about him. But it was mentioned in this manner with the intent of learning the ruling and getting advice on how to move. Getting advice on how to move. So in this case, it would not be considered backbiting. The backbiting that is forbidden. وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْعِيَانَةَ فِي إِزَالَةِ مُنْكَرِي. And the one who seeks help from someone to remove evil, to remove harm and evil. So if a person, he sees some evil and he needs assistance in removing that or forbidding that or prohibiting that and the likes, then it's allowed for him to ask for help. It's allowed for him to go to someone who he thinks will be able to help him. And he believes that this person has the ability to help him, and he'll tell him that this so-and-so is doing this and so-and-so is doing that. And this is not considered backbiting. He's informing him not to backbite him, not to belittle him, not to expose him, but rather to get help from the person whom he's informing to prohibit that or to forbid that. To prohibit that or forbid that. So this is allowed. أَذَّمُ لَيْسَ بِغِيبَةٍ فِي سِتَّةٍ مُتَظَلِّمٍ وَمُعَرِّفٍ مُوحَذِّرِي مُتَظَلِّمٍ وَمُعَرِّفٍ وَمُحَذِّرِي وَلِمُظْهِرٍ فِسْقًا وَمُسْتَفْتٍ وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْعِيَانَةَ فِي إِزَالَةِ مُنْكَرِي إِزَالَةِ مُنْكَرِي. So these are the 6 points whenever speaking ill of others and mentioning their faults and exposing that is not considered backbiting. It's not considered backbiting. But a person, he should be cautious and he should be careful. He should be cautious and he should be careful, because a person, his heart, if it's not checked, it can become loose. And that enmity or that desire to belittle that person and to raise above him and the likes like this can rile up. And his tongue likewise can become loose. And he could be deceived, claiming that he's only defending the religion or helping this person or the likes like this. But in reality, he's belittling them. So a person, he must be cautious and fear Allah with regards to these affairs. And how many people, they have jealousy and enmity in their heart for individuals and great rancor, and they speak about them claiming that it's for the sake of the deen. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So this is something that is allowed, but it must be based upon knowledge and justice. And it must be based upon taqwa and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he says, rahimahullah, وَقَدْ جَعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ وَالسُّنَّةَ وَالْفِقْهَ دَلِيلَهُ إِلَى كُلِّ خُلُوكٍ حَسَنٍ جَمِيلٍ حَافِظًا لِجَمِيعِ جَوَارِحِهِ عَمَّا نُهِيَ أَنْهُ إِنْ مَشَى مَشَى بِإِلْمٍ وَإِنْ قَاعَدَ قَاعَدَ بِإِلْمٍ. He makes the Qur'an, sunnah, and jurisprudence his guide in all aspects of noble character. He has taken the Qur'an and the sunnah and the fiqh, jurisprudence in the religion, to be his dalil, to be his guide, leading him to all aspects of noble and good character, safeguarding all of his faculties from what has been prohibited, safeguarding all of his faculties, all of his organs, yani his heart, his eyes, and his ears, his hands, and his feet, his stomach, his emotions, his desires, and al-jawarih. Al-jawarih, they're the organs and the body parts. They're the organs and the body parts. So this is from his noble manners. حَافِظًا لِجَمِيعِ جَوَارِحِهِ. That he is protecting all of his limbs and body parts, all of his faculties, عَمَّا نُهِيَ أَنْهُ, from everything that has been forbidden. From everything that has forbidden. This is a clear distinguishing trait, as we mentioned in our previous class, a clear distinguishing trait of the people of the Qur'an, that they're diligent to protect their life and their efforts from falling into that which is forbidden. The limits of Allah Azza wa Jal have a high and great status in their heart. the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal have a high and great status in their heart. The obligations are very dear and beloved to them. And the prohibitions likewise, they revere them and they respect them and honor them. And if they were to fall short themselves, they will feel bad. In either aspect, in either light, they'll feel bad. It will not be easy. It will not be easy for him to fall short in the obligations. Or even if he strives hard enough, it will not be easy for him to fall short in recommendations. It will hurt his heart. He will feel that he missed out. And likewise, it will definitely not be easy for him to violate and perpetrate prohibitions. Or even sometimes if he strives in his path of seeking the pleasure of Allah, likewise, it will not be easy for him to violate things that are disliked and not even forbidden, because he has accustomed himself to goodness. So this is the way of a believer. If that happens from himself, then it will affect him and he will feel sad and he will feel remorse. It will bother him in his heart and will carry him to repent and to strive harder. And likewise, whenever he sees those rights violated, it's not something light. It's heavy on his heart. It's something that he dislikes and it bothers him. That these rights, the rights of Al-Islam, they're violated and they're not honored. So he has taken the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding, the fiqh, and the jurisprudence as his pathway and guide to all good and noble manners. We have seen that the religion in entirety is all good and noble manners. So now he's mentioning some beautiful points in detail. In masha masha bi'ilm. If he walks, he walks with knowledge. In qa'ida qa'ida bi'ilm. If he sits, he sits with knowledge. If he walks, he walks with knowledge. If he sits, he sits with knowledge. Even walking, there's guidance in walking. And there's a type of walking that's beloved to Allah, and there's a type of walking that is not beloved to Allah. Prancing around out of arrogance and the likes like this, like they say in Amen, walking like he's hard. That's what they say, huh? Walking like he's hard. Like they're walking around prancing, like you can see, like from the way he's walking, he thinks he's better than you. From the way that he's walking, he thinks that he's got something that you don't have. Just from the way he walks. You see him walking through the door? Oh, this guy, he's arrogant. This guy, he has an issue in his heart. From the way that he walks, it can be identified. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not walk all slow, like he's weak in the likes like this. And he did not walk fast, recklessly moving fast, and the likes like this. Nor did he walk in arrogance and pride. He walked in honor and dignity. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Do not turn your face away from the people in arrogance and pride, and do not walk in the earth boastfully. Why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَلٍ فَخُورًا. Because indeed Allah, he does not love every arrogant and proud person. The one who is arrogant in himself and proud, thinking he's better than others. And in himself, he thinks he's the best, and he's looking at others like they are nothing. Allah, he does not love this person. So a person of the Quran, he will hear the likes of this. And he will not want to be like that, because he's hoping for the love of Allah and the pleasure of Allah. Rather, what would he do? وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِّكَ وَقْبُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَسْوَاتِ لَسَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. Rather, Allah, he says, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِّكَ. Rather, you be moderate in your walking. You walk in moderation. And you walk with dignity, with humbleness, not with arrogance and not with pride. And you walk in a good manner, not hasty and recklessly, and the likes like this, and also not lazily or without any purpose. Walking, some people, they're walking like they have no purpose in life. They're just strolling along the way. They don't know where they're going. No, a believer, he has an aim. He has goal. He has purpose. He has things to take care of. He has things to handle. So he's moving. He's moving to take care of his time, especially a student of knowledge. Some of the salaf, they will say, Ya akhar ilmi, asri' fi thalatha. O brother of knowledge, hasten in three affairs. Al-mashi wa akli wa kitaba. In walking and eating and writing. And even then, we understand what it means to hasten. Meaning to hasten without being reckless. You need to take advantage of your time and to move with purpose. So you're not wasting time. A student, whenever he's going from class to class, he'll move diligently and the likes like this. He'll move with purpose and aim, and he's striving and hoping to benefit from his time. And even on his way, he's remembering Allah and reviewing knowledge, so on and so forth. This is the way of a student of knowledge and a Muslim in general. Alhamdulillah, benefiting from the time. Al-mashi wa akli wa kitaba, eating and also in writing. So the point is now is that whenever he walks with knowledge. Allahu Akbar. Great guidance has come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has been collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي قَدْ أَعْجَبَتْهُ جُمَّتُهُ وَبُرْدَاهُ قَدْ أَعْجَبَتْهُ جُمَّتُهُ وَبُرْدَاهُ إِذْ خُسِفَ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ إِذْ خُسِفَ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ فَهُوَ يَتَجَلْجَلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى تَقُومَ السَّاعَةِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned a man previously, a man. There was a man who was walking. قَدْ أَعْجَبَتْهُ جُمَّتُهُ وَبُرْدَاءُ His hair has amazed him. He's amazed with his hair, his hairstyle. People today, some of them, they're amazed with their hairstyles. And they themselves, they fix their hair to an extent, then he looks at himself and he's like, MashaAllah. Amazed with his hairstyle. Amazed with his hairstyle. Waliyadhi billah. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to come out of the house with the head covered. This will solve a lot of the problems of the youth. Follow that sunnah, you don't have to worry about that part anymore. The khaza' and the lie side, the khaza' and the lie side, this. But the point is that there was a man, he came out and this was his state. قَدْ أَعْجَبَتْهُ جُمَّتُهُ بُرْدَاءُ That his hair has amazed him and he really likes his hairstyle and also his garments. His garments and his burda, and his izar and his rida, and the clothing that the style, the clothing that he's wearing, and he's amazed with fashion coming out, yani like that. What do they say? Dressed to impress. He's dressed to impress. Astaghfirullah. What happened to him? إِذْ خُسِفَ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ فَهُوَ يَتَجَلْجَلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى تَكُمَ السَّاعَةُ That suddenly the earth swallowed him, and he continues to fall, falling. In the earth until the hour is established. Falling in the earth until the hour is established. So a person, he will be cautious from this affair. If he walks with knowledge. If he sits with knowledge. Even in sitting, there's a manner to sit and a manner not to sit. There's a way to sit. And from the clarification of the noble manners in sitting, it's come in the hadith, which is known as Ummu As-Sunnah. There's a hadith known as Ummu As-Sunnah. Like the Fatiha is known as Al-Kitab, there's a narration that's known as As-Sunnah. What narration is that? Hadith Jibreel alayhi salam. إِذْ جَلَسَ إِلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَأَسْنَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ لِرُكْبَتَيْهِ وَوَضَعَ كَفَيْهِ عَلَى فَخِذَيْهِ Yani this is a clarification of how to sit. Yani so a person, he will sit in the gatherings with his legs crossed, and he will sit properly, or he will sit in a muftarishan, yani the way that he sits in the tashahud, or he will sit mutawarrikan, likewise, also the way that he sits in the tashahud. But there are other ways that he will not sit. And from them is that which is clarified in the hadith of Sharid ibn Suwaid, which is collected by Abu Dawood. He says, مَرَّ بِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ وَأَنَا جَالِسٌ هَكَذَا وَقَدْ وَضَعْتُ يَدِي أَيُسْرَى خَلْفَ ظَهْرِي وَقَدْ وَضَعْتُ يَدِي أَيُسْرَى خَلْفَ ظَهْرِي He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by me and I was sitting like this. I put my left hand behind my back. He says, فَاتَّكَعْتُ عَلَى أَلْيَتِ يَدِي And I started leaning on the palm of my hand. He said, I was sitting, the Prophet passed behind me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was sitting like this, with my left hand behind my back, and I'm leaning on the palm of my hand. فَقَالَ أَتَقْعُدُ قِدْعَةَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, are you sitting in the manner of those whom Allah has earned their anger? Are you sitting in the manner of those whom have earned the anger of Allah? And so this is a sitting that is a bare minimum disliked. That is bare minimum disliked to sit in that manner like this. And likewise, iq'a' is shaitan, sitting like that, especially in the salah. Whenever a person, he will be on his knees and he will spread the back of his feet and set his bottom on the ground. He will sit on his knees and then spread his feet apart and put his bottom on the ground. This is called iq'a' is shaitan. This one likewise is forbidden in the prayer and the likes like this. So there's guidance. The point is now is that the people of Quran, they have guidance in every aspect of their life, even in walking and sitting. Even and walking and sitting. He says, يَجْتَهِدُ لِيَسْلَمَ النَّاسُ يَجْتَهِدُ لِيَسْلَمَ النَّاسُ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ لَا يَجْهَلُ فَإِنْ جُهِلَ عَلَيْهِ حَلُمْ وَلَا يَظْلِمُ فَإِنْ ظُلِمَ عَفَى لَا يَبْغِي وَإِنْ بُغِي عَلَيْهِ صَبَرْ يَقْضِمُ غَيْظَهُ لِيُرْضِيَ رَبَّهُ وَيَغِيظَ عَدُوَّهُ. He strives to ensure that people are safe from his tongue and hands. He does not act ignorantly. And if ignorance is shown towards him, he responds with patience. He does not oppress others, and if he is wronged, he forgives. He does not transgress, and if transgressed upon, he remains patient. He suppresses his anger to please his Lord. He suppresses his anger to please his Lord and to frustrate his enemy. يَجْتَهِدُ لِيَسْلَمَ النَّاسُ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ بِيَدِهِ. He strives to ensure that the people are safe from his tongue and from his hands. And this is a narration likewise that has come from more than one companion. It's been narrated from Abdullah ibn Amr. It's been narrated from Abu Huraira. It's been narrated from Jabir. It's been narrated from Abu Musa and the likes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. That the true Muslim, the person who has good Islam, is the one who the other Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. The one that the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. So he strives. He strives to make sure that the people are safe from his tongue and from his hand, because he is preserving and protecting his Islam. This is preceded likewise, and that which the author has mentioned in the beginning of these characteristics and traits. And this narration here is muttafaqun alayhi. There are different wordings likewise. From them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi wal-muhajir man hajara ma naha Allahu anhu wal-muhajir man hajara ma naha Allahu anhu. This is in Sahih Bukhari. A true Muslim is the one who the other Muslims are safe from his tongue and is from his hand. And the true muhajir, the one who is truly migrating for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, is the one who leaves off that which Allah has forbidden. Is the one who leaves off that which Allah has forbidden. So al-hijra means to leave something. It means to leave something and to go to something that's better and more beloved. It means to leave something and to go to something that's more better and beloved. So a person, he will leave the lands of disbelief and he will go to the lands that are more better and more beloved. The lands of Al-Islam, the lands of Tawheed, the lands of Sunnah. This is called Hijrah. And this is the physical Hijrah. But there's also a spiritual Hijrah, the Hijrah of the heart. And this is what's being referred to here. Muhajir man hajara ma naha Allahu anhu. The true Muhajir, the one who is truly migrating to Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah, hoping to obtain the love of Allah, he's the one who leaves off that which is forbidden. He's the one who migrated and left off. He migrated from. You need to migrate means to leave something. He's the one who left off that which is forbidden. So he leave off everything that's displeasing to Allah, and he will travel with his heart, with his life, to that which is beloved to Allah. This is the hijrah of the heart. The hijrah of the body is only obligatory on some people in certain circumstances. As for the hijrah of the heart, it's an obligation upon everyone all of the time. To leave off that which Allah has forbidden. And another wording of this narration in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَالْمُؤْمِنْ مَنْ أَمِنَهُ النَّاسُ عَلَى دِمَائِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ. And the true believer is the one who the people feel safe from him with regards to their blood and their wealth. And the true believer is the one whom the people feel safe from him with regards to his blood and his wealth. And they feel safe from him. They would never expect for him to hit them or to harm them or to shed his blood or to physically hurt them. And they would never expect for him to violate their rights and their finances or their wealth, so to take advantage of them and their money and property. So that people feel safe from them. This is because whenever Iman is there, there's safety. Whenever Islam is there, there's safety. And whenever the Iman is there, there's security. There's a sense of security. The opposite of security is fear. It's fear. So if there are people who are afraid that maybe someone's going to harm them or hurt them, or is going to violate their rights or take their money and the likes like this, or they're not going to deal just with them and their finances, this is a sign that their faith is deficient. If there's individuals who the Muslims or even the people in general are not safe from their tongue or from their hand, this is a sign that their Islam is deficient. Also, there's other wording similar like this. We have discussed them many times. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "One mujahid, man jahada nafsuhu fi ta'atillah." And the true mujahid, the true fighter in the path of Allah, is the one who strives against his own soul in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. The one who strives against his own soul in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are beautiful traits. لا يجهل. He does not act ignorantly. He does not act ignorantly. He does not act a fool. He doesn't act a fool. He does not act ignorantly. He does not come out of character. And he checks himself. He refrains himself. Before he acts a fool and acts ignorantly, he will check himself. فَإِنْ جُهِلَ عَلَيْهِ حَلُمْ. If somebody acts ignorantly towards him, what does that mean to act ignorantly? Raising the voice, talking crazy, popping off, saying something rude out of nowhere, and the likes like this, to being harsh, being rude, being mean for no reason. All of a sudden, you try to give somebody the salam, they tell you shut up, they tell you watch out, you don't know who you're talking to, so on and so forth. Stuff like this, people just all of a sudden, they have a problem. They have a problem and they have a sharp tongue and they lash out suddenly. This means that he's acting a fool. This is an example of that. It could be worse or more. It could be more or less. So this is what it means to act ignorantly and to act a fool. So the people of Quran, whenever the people act foolish, they don't act foolish with them. And whenever the people get ignorant, they do not get ignorant with them. Rather, they have dignity. They have dignity, they have honor, they have fear of Allah, they have piety. They don't act a fool like the foolish. And they don't act ignorant like the ignorant. They have knowledge, they have light, they have iman, they have faith. It checks their manners and their conduct. They deal with that hot situation in the most beautiful manner. It's been narrated by Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Rahimahullah, he died in the year 198. He said, "In kana lady layda as-safi, wa nahari nahar al-jahil, famada asna'u bil-ilm aladhi katabtuhu. فَمَاذَا أَسْنَعُ بِالْعِلْمِ أَلَذِي كَتَبْتُهُ." If my night is the night of the fools, and my day is the days of the ignorance, then what would I do with the knowledge that I have written? What would I do with the knowledge that I'm writing knowledge in my notebook, taking notes in my book? What would I do with the knowledge that I have written if I act a fool in the daytime with the fools, and I act ignorant and the likes with the ignorant at nighttime? And what would I do with the knowledge that I have written? So the people of Quran, they have knowledge, and that knowledge benefits them. That knowledge benefits them in their manners and their conduct, and they deal with hot situations in the best manner. So that these hot situations and circumstances, these problematic circumstances, whenever one deals with them with sincere faith and knowledge, then this is the manner to refine the soul. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قالوا السلام. Allah, he mentioned about the righteous, عباد الرحمن, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا السلام. Whenever the ignorant people speak to them, with ignorance and the likes like this, قَالُوا سلام. What does that mean? Salaamu alaykum. He said, what's your problem? He said, this and that, if you, so on and so forth. I'll do this to you, I'll do that to you. What did he say to them? Salam. Is that what it means? قَالُوا سلام. The people of knowledge, they say, قَالُوا كَلَامًا يَسْلَمُ بِهِ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. قَالُوا كَلَامًا يَسْلَمُ بِهِ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. They say words, they respond in a manner that they're safe from sin. قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Salam. What does salam mean? Safety, security. They say words that keep them safe from falling into sin. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he died in the year 204. He has some beautiful lines of poetry about this affair, clarifying the manners of the noble and the virtuous. He said, يُخَاطِبُنِي السَّفِيهُ بِقُولِ قُبْحٍ فَأَقْرَهُ أَنَ أَكُونَ لَهُ مُجِيبًا. That the Safi'i, he speaks to me with the most despicable and lowly words, the most despicable and lowly speech. يُخَاطِبُنِي السَّفِيهُ بِقُولِ قُبْحٍ فَأَقْرَهُ أَنَ أَكُونَ لَهُ مُجِيبًا. I dislike to even respond to him. He says the most foul and lowly words to me, I don't even want to respond to him. فَأَقْرَهُ أَنَ أَكُونَ لَهُ مُجِيبًا. يَزِيدُ سَفَاهَةً فَأَزِيدُ حِلْمًا. كَعُودًا زَادَهُ الْإِحْرَاقُ طِيبًا. He says he increases in his foolishness and I increase in my forbearance. Just like the oud, whenever the fire touches it, increases it in the beautiful scent. It increases in the beautiful scent. The oud, that's wood. The bukhur, when you have it, you smell it, it doesn't smell like anything. If you put heat to it, what happens? It starts to bubble. It will start to burn, and then a beautiful, pleasant scent comes from it. The more you get it hot, the more the sin comes. That's what he's saying. He's saying that this is the case. So this is the way of the people of Quran. This is the way of Ibad al-Rahman. Whenever the people, they get foolish, a person, he doesn't respond to that with foolishness. Rather, he deals with that patiently. He deals with that forbearance. He says some kind words or some words that at bare minimum, he's safe from sin. He does not respond with ignorance in the way they respond. He does not respond with that sharp tone and that harshness and that rudeness or those foul and lowly words. He responds in a manner of dignity and he keeps on moving. Like he says, مُقْبِلًا عَلَى شَعْنِهِ مُقْبِلًا عَلَى شَعْنِهِ. He keeps on going. Alhamdulillah, he's not worried about it. He's not affected by it. He does not entertain that. It does not bother him. He does not say, oh, he's going to talk to me like that? Oh, no, nobody's going to talk to me like that. This is from the shaitan. This is from the shaitan, that whisper that tells you that. He's not going to talk to me like that. The next thing from that is to start talking back to him like that. And then from there, yani who knows what will happen? Who knows what will happen? So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ. If one of you becomes angry, then be silent. And he don't say anything. Don't say anything. So this is from the way of the people of Quran. إِذَا جُهِلَ عَلَيْهِ حَلُمْ. He'll be forbearing. He does not oppress, and if he's oppressed, he forgives. He pardons. And he does not transgress against people's rights. And if people transgress against him, he's patient. يَقْذِبُ غَيْظَهُ. He represses his anger. وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ أَنَ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Look how it goes back to wanting to be from those whom Allah loves and to not wanting to be from those whom Allah does not love. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِّكَ وَالْغُلُودْ مِنْ سَوْتِكَ. What was before that? وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْمَرَحَ فَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مَنْ كُلَّ مُخْتَارٍ فَخُورًا. Do not walk in the earth arrogantly and boastfully. Allah, He does not love the arrogant and proud. Allah, He does not love the arrogant and proud. So they don't do that because they're afraid if they were to do that, Allah will not love them. Allah will not love them. Here, on the contrary, here likewise, in contrast to that, they repress their anger, even if they have the ability to execute it, even if they're right, even if they have the right. What do? They repress their anger. And then on top of that, they pardon the people. Why? وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So that's what they're looking for. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ أَنَّ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is what moves them. This is why he's able to be patient when people harm him. This is why he's able to be forbearing when people talk ignorantly to him or deal with him foolishly. And the likes like this, because they have high aspirations for the love of Allah. They have high hopes in the promise of Allah. They know that this life is a test of Allah. And these organs and faculties, we're tried in them. And they're a favor, and we're going to return to Allah Azza wa Jal. So they're working in the path of Allah, and they're checking their self with the reins of the legislation, hoping for the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal. So whenever a believer, he remembers these affairs, he learns these verses, for example, that Allah, He loves those who repress their anger, that Allah, He loves those who pardon and forgive the people, and that if we hope to be pardoned and forgiven, then we must pardon and forgive. So a person, he will pardon and forgive, not because he's weak, or not because he wants something from that person, but rather because he hopes that Allah will pardon and forgive him. He does not walk around arrogantly and proud. He does not think he's better than others. And the likes like this, rather, he realizes the favor of Allah upon him and he's thankful and he's humble. Because Allah, He does not love the proud and arrogant. And he's afraid that if he did that, then Allah would not love him. And this is the worst thing that could happen in his life. So this is what he's looking for, is the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says, رَحِيمَهَا مُتَوَاضِعٌ فِي نَفْسِهِ إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ الْحَقِّ قَابِلَهُ مِنْ صَغِيرٍ أَوْ كَبِيرٍ يَطْرُبُ الرِّفْعَةَ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلٍ لَا مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ مَاقِتٌ الْكِبْرِ خَائِفٌ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ مِنْهُ. He is humble within himself and readily accepts the truth, whether it comes from a young or old person. He seeks honor from Allah, not from the people. He seeks honor and high status from Allah, not from the people. He despises arrogance, fears it for himself, and guards himself against it. He's humble within himself. Humbleness is from the best traits of a believer, to be humble. And we know that the believers, they're better than the disbelievers, and that the pious and righteous from them are better from the wicked and evil from them, and the people of the sunnah from them are better than the innovators from them. But a person, he will see that favor of Allah, and this will not carry him to be arrogant or to be proud. It will carry him to be humble and to be thankful. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the best. He's the best of the people, yet he was humble, and yet he was thankful.
He was humble and he was thankful. أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَخُورًا Should I not be a thankful slave? So he was humble. He was humble, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was humble, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So likewise, the people of Quran, they're humble. Along with recognizing the great favor of Allah upon them, of knowledge and blessing and guidance to the straight path. Alhamdulillah. But this would carry them to be even more humble and thankful. More humble and thankful. More humble and thankful. From the greatest traits, no doubt, of the people of Quran is that their creed is sound. The creed of At-Tawheed, At-Tawheed al-Khalis, is deeply rooted in their heart. And their heart is attached to Allah. Their heart is attached to Allah, not to the people, not to the dunya, not to the worldly life, So a person of At-Tawheed, he realizes and he knows without doubt that nothing happens in this life except by the permission of Allah, not by the permission of the people. So only a fool, after realizing this and knowing this, only a fool would ever seek loftiness or high status from the people, because it's not in the hands of the people. It's in the hands of the creator of the people. And a person, he cannot be high and lofty and have anything good in this life or be safe from any harm if Allah does not decree that for him. So therefore, he'll seek that from Allah, the one who has authority and command, not from the people. So the one who is seeking to be raised in the eyes of the people, either by showing off or wanting to be heard or doing other actions in the likes like this in order to have status and rank, or to put others down and stand on their back in order to raise himself in the likes like this, is because of a deficiency in Tawheed. This is because of a deficiency in Tawheed. Had the Tawheed been firm and strong, he would seek rif'ah from Allah Azza wa Jal. He would take the means that lead to rif'ah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would not seek that from the people. But if a person, his tawheed is corrupted and his faith falls weak, then he will have attachment to the creation and he will take the wrong path. And he will seek to raise himself and to rise in the ranks in the eyes of the people and neglect seeking the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. For this reason, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, he died in 161. He said, أَقْبَحْ إِنَّ أَكْبَحَ الرَّقْبَ أَن تُطْلَبَ الدُّنْيَا بِعَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ That indeed, the worst desire and hope that could arise in the heart of a person is that he would hope to seek the worldly life by way of the deeds of the hereafter. And he would start to show off and use the religion as a means to get elevated status and rank in the hearts of the people. Waliyadhu billah. So a person of At-Tawheed, he realizes these affairs. So everything that glitters is not gold. And some things, maybe initially, if you look at it in a material aspect, if you look at it from the physical aspect in the material life, it will seem that there's a downfall or that there's a loss or that he's missing out. But the one who looks at it with sincere faith and tawheed and knowledge of the legislation, he will find that this is a means to raise and a means of goodness and blessing. And this is clarified in many evidences, many texts from the hadith which is collected by Muslim, from the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِنْ مَالٍ مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِنْ مَالٍ مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِنْ مَالٍ That the sadaqah has never caused the wealth to decrease. If a person, he gives sadaqah, what happens to his money? Does it grow or increase physically? If you have $100 and you give 50 in charity, now how much do you have? If you have $100, you give 50 in charity, how much do you have? 50. You have 50. So what happened? Did it increase or decrease? It decreased from the physical aspect. But what is intended here is not that affair. If you give for the sake of Allah, Allah will give you. If you spend from what Allah gave you for His sake, seeking His reward, He would increase you. He will give this 50 and he will lose that 50. It will go from him, but it's going to multiply from other aspects. From that is that the 50 that he kept will have blessing in it. It will go a long way. The 50 that he kept, it will have blessing in it. It will go a long way. He'll bring great benefit for him. He'll use it in that which is lawful and good. Alhamdulillah. And even more wealth will come to him. There's a hadith authenticated by Sheikh al-Albani. It's hadith Qudsi. The Prophet, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah, he says, Ya ibn Adam, unfiq alik. Spend, I'll spend on you. Allahu Akbar. Spend, O son of Adam, spend. Who gave you the money? Allah, spend. Allah, and I will spend on you. So if you spend, Allah will spend on you. So the charity does not decrease the wealth. Don't be deceived. If you give charity for the sake of Allah, this is a means for the wealth to grow. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning. وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ And Allah has never increased a person by way of forgiveness and pardon except in honor and might. Except in honor and might. So somebody who is oppressed, an injustice is done to him, and then he pardons and lets it go. Some people might say, why you let him do you like that? Oh, you gonna let him do you like that? Oh, because you must be weak, right? You don't have no self-honor, no dignity. That's not the case. If he let it go for the sake of Allah, and with knowledge, and at times, sometimes it's not proper to pardon. Sometimes people have to be checked, but not always. Sometimes, no doubt, the origin is to pardon and forgive. The origin, no doubt, is to pardon and forgive. So the one who does that for the sake of Allah, that may appear to some people that he's belittling himself, but with Allah Azza wa Jal, he will raise. He will raise. It's a means for him to have honor. It's a means for him to have honor. And likewise, whenever a person has honor, then Allah will put that in the hearts of the people to honor him. Then Allah will put that in the hearts of the people to honor him. So maybe he will humble himself for the sake of Allah and pardon that person. And this will be a means for him to raise. This will be a means for him to raise. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَ. No one humbled himself before Allah except Allah will raise him. What does it mean to humble yourself before Allah? And from the meaning of that? To humble yourself before the commands of Allah. To establish them for the sake of Allah. To abide by the limits of Allah. This is being humble. Not being arrogant. Not being proud. Not being boastful. Not rejecting. Not rebelling against the commandments and prohibitions. The one who rebels against the commandments and prohibitions, is that humbleness? No, the one who is humble, he will accept those commandments and he will abide by them. He will accept those prohibitions and he will avoid them and leave them. This is from humbleness. This is from humbleness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing the favors and blessings of Allah azza wa jalla and thanking him for them in the manner prescribed. And thanking him for them and showing great appreciation in the manner prescribed. And likewise in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Iyad, Ibn Himar Mujashi'i radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Inna Allaha awha ilayya. Indeed, Allah has revealed to me, and tawada'u, that you should be humble. That you should be humble. Hatta la yafqara ahadun ala ahad, wa la yabghi ahadun ala ahad, wa la yabghi ahadun ala ahad. In order for one to not boast over the other, in order for no one to boast over the other, and likewise, in order for no one to transgress and violate the rights of others, in order for no one to transgress and violate the rights of others. So he's humble. He accepts the truth, regardless of where it comes from. Whether he's from someone who is older or someone who is younger. From an elder or one who is young. And he regardless of where it's coming from. If it's the truth, he would accept it. And this is the way of the people of Hadith. It's been narrated by Abdullah ibn Mubarak. By Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, he died in the year 181. He says, لا يكون الرجل من أصحاب الحديث حتى يكتب عمن هو مثله. وَعَمَّنْ هُوَ فَوْقَهُ وَعَمَّنْ هُوَ دُونَهُ. That a person, a man, he will not be from the people of hadith. He will not truly be from the people of hadith. I mean, from the students of knowledge. Until he writes knowledge on those who are like him, on his same level, from his peers. And likewise, from those who are above him, as well as those who are below him. As well as those who are below him. So he's a person of humbleness. And the people of knowledge, they say, الحق وضالة المؤمن, that the truth is what the believer he's looking for. That he would take it wherever it comes from. If somebody brings him the truth, he would accept it, alhamdulillah. He would accept it, alhamdulillah, even if it's his student, or even if it's his child, or even if it's someone who's younger, so long as it's brought, especially whenever it's brought in the proper manner and etiquettes, then it's accepted. Then it's accepted and it's not rejected. Then it is accepted and it's not rejected. The author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he despises arrogance and fears it for himself and guards himself against it. And guards himself against it. Because arrogance is a great disease. From the greatest diseases of the hearts. From the greatest diseases of the hearts is that disease of arrogance. This is from the sins of the heart that are considered major. So there are sins of the heart. Sins of the heart. Actions of the heart that are sinful. And from the worst of them. And the most severe and the greatest of them is kibr. And likewise, it has been connected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ وَذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. That whoever has the smallest particle of arrogance and pride in his heart will not enter paradise. He will not enter paradise. So, مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. A ذَرَّة is a particle. Like whenever there's a window open, and there's shade, and you can see the light coming in the room, and you see dust particles in the light, that's called a darra. The person, the Prophet ﷺ says, he will not enter paradise. He will not enter paradise. The one who has that amount of arrogance in his heart. That amount of arrogance in his heart, he will not enter paradise. Meaning that the person who has that in his heart, before he will enter paradise, if he's a believer, that must be cleansed. That's considered filth. That's considered khubth. And the people of paradise and the people of tayyib. And nobody enters paradise except for al-tayyibun. Al-tayyibun. So that filth must be purified. Must be purified. Even that amount. Even that amount. At this time, قَالَ رَجُلٌ إِنَّ رَجُلَ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ ثَوْبُهُ حَسَنًا وَنَعْلُهُ حَسَنًا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ الْكِبْرُ بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. A man at this time, whenever he heard this, that no one went to paradise, if he has the smallest particle of arrogance in his heart, a man, he heard that and he said, but indeed a person, he likes to have a nice garment. He likes to wear a nice garment. He likes to have nice shoes. So he's thinking that, you know, the fact that he likes to have nice garment and nice shoes, maybe this is what is considered arrogance and proud. Arrogance and pride. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's clarifying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah, He is the most beautiful and He loves beauty. Allah is the most beautiful and He loves beauty. I mean, that's not from pride. A person, he can have a nice thobe on and not be arrogant. A person, he can have nice shoes and not be arrogant. A person, he can have a nice vehicle and not be arrogant. This is not in itself arrogance. But he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-kibru batru al-haq wa ghamtu al-nas. Kibr, arrogance, is rejecting the truth and belittling the people. Is rejecting the truth and belittling the people. So the people of Quran, they're free from these affairs. They're far from these affairs. He's humble within himself, readily accepts the truth, whether it comes from a young or old person. He seeks honor from Allah, high status and rank from Allah, not from the people. He despises arrogance, fears it for himself, and guards himself against it. لا يتأكر بالقرآن ولا يحب أن يقضى له به الحوائج ولا يسعى به إلى أبناء الملوك ولا يجالس به الأغنياء ولا يجالس به الأغنياء ليكرموه ليكرموه ولا يسعى به إلى أبناء الملوك ولا يجالس به الأغنياء ليكرموه إن كسب الناس من الدنيا الكثير بلا فقه ولا بصيرة كسبه القليل بفقه. He does not seek worldly gains through the Quran, nor does he desire to use it to fulfill his personal needs. He does not use it to approach the children of kings, nor does he seek the company of the wealthy to earn their favor. If others acquire much from the worldly life without understanding or insight, he is content with little, gained with knowledge and understanding. Gained with knowledge and understanding. So he's a person of knowledge, a person of the Quran, a person of knowledge, a person of the Quran. He says, "Rahimahullah, in labis al-nasu al-layin al-fakhir, in labis al-nasu al-layin al-fakhir, labisa huwa min al-halali ma yashturu awratahu. When husi'a alayhi wasa'a, wa in umsika alayhi amsaka. Yaqna'u bil-qalili fayakfihi. Yaqna'u bil-qalili fayakfihi. Wa yahdharu ala nafsihi min al-dunya." If people wear luxurious and soft garments, he wears lawful clothing that covers his body. He wears lawful clothing that covers his body. Al-Muhim, what is important is that the garments are lawful in themselves and earned with earnings that are lawful. If they're nice and comfortable, alhamdulillah, this is allowed. This is even good. This is even good if a person is able. But the point is that it should be lawful. It should be lawful in all regards. He says, if he is given ease, he extends it to others. And whenever he has lots of wealth, he's very generous. And if he is restricted, he remains content. He suffices with little, fearing that the world may lead him to arrogance and excess. Fearing that the world may lead him to arrogance and excess. And he suffices with little. He's content. It's easy. From the character of the people of Quran, the people of Sunnah, is that they're easy to please. That's a good trait. To just, you can make him happy easily. If you give him a steak, he's happy. If you give him a chicken sandwich, he's happy. It's not, if you give him a peanut butter sandwich, he's happy. And it's not, some people, that they're not going to be happy unless you bring the whole thing. You got to bring the whole nine yards, like they say, right? Astaghfirullah. Whatever you give him, alhamdulillah, he's happy. Jazakallah khairan. Barakallah fiqh. It's not hard to please. it's very easy to please him. You can make him happy just by doing little. The littlest thing, you make him happy, alhamdulillah. The littlest thing, he'll be happy, pleased, content, no problem. If you do a lot for him, he's very happy and very grateful. But the point is that he suffices with little, alhamdulillah, and a little from the good of this life will please him and suffice him. So how about if he gets a lot? How about if he gets a lot? If he gets a lot, he's cautious. He's cautious. This is what he's clarifying, fearing that it may lead him to arrogance and excess. Allah, he mentioned in his book, لينفق ذو ساعة من ساعتي ومن قدر عليه رزقه فلينفق مما أتاه الله. All of these traits here, they're referring back to verses in the book of Allah. They're referring back to verses in the book. كلا إن الإنسان لا يطغى أرآه استغنى. So this is what happens whenever a person, he thinks he has wealth and he has back from his tribesmen and the likes of this, he'll feel like he's self-sufficient and he does not need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he does not need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We stop here with the statement, يَتْبَعُ وَجِبَاتِ الْقُرْآنِ وَالسُنَّةِ يَتْبَعُ وَجِبَاتِ الْقُرْآنِ وَالسُنَّةِ. He follows the obligations of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. He follows the obligations of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Now he's going to continue with more great benefits. We take them in our class tomorrow, inshaAllah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. جزاكم الله خيراً.